back to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome to another live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. It is Saturday evening, the 13th of February, 2010, the day before Valentine's Day. And tonight we are being broadcast live, as always, from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380 WLRM Radio, and the AM-FM affiliate stations across the country of the Liberty News Radio Network. Let me not forget the internet stream as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet headquarters, and the official radio website of our network, Liberty News Radio, libertynewsradio.com. We are being broadcast from Memphis tonight, of course, but I am not there. I am on the road after having a speaking engagement in South Georgia, and so we are going to try to do the best we can with what we've got this evening, and helping me do just that is my co-host for the first hour, Mr. Keith Alexander, who is in Memphis tonight. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm hanging in like Gunga Din, as we like to say.
Well,
I'm down here holding down the fort in Memphis for you.
Keith has a lot in store for us during tonight's first hour, but before we follow his lead, let me just give a quick moment of recognition to a couple of people. It goes without saying that we've made a name for ourselves here, but in the political cesspool for the work we do on our program, but our efforts and activism are hardly confined to the halls of Memphis, Tennessee. Just this last week, I had the opportunity, as Keith knows, to make the talk radio rounds myself. Instead of doing the hosting and the interviewing, I was appearing as a guest on both the Radio X program on AM 1650 in Buffalo, New York, and on the all-new Derek Black Show on AM 1340 WPBR in Palm Beach, Florida. Both interviews went extremely well, and I just wanted to thank the gracious host of those programs for extending to me the invitation. And I would also like to take this moment to remind everyone that the hosting staff of the Political Cesspool has extensive media experience and have been interviewed by numerous radio and television networks, as well as CNN, various print publications from around the world. We don't always grant interview requests, but we just might for you. And if you're interested in having us on or talking to us or having us speak at your patriotic gathering or conference, contact the media director, media, at thepoliticalcesspool.org, media at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith, that does it for the announcements to kick off the program tonight. What do you have on the agenda, my friend?
Let's just dive right in, James.
Why not?
Hold your nose and jump in the cesspool with me. Okay, as I told you, I was reading an article by Chuck Baldwin, who's been a frequent guest on our show, and also, if people will recall, was the Constitutional Party candidate for president in the last presidential election here in America. And he's written an article called Not Your Father's Army, which I think is very timely and needs our close scrutiny. What Baldwin is saying is that many Americans, particularly white Americans, and particularly white Americans from the founding stock of America, have a deep and abiding respect and admiration for our country's fighting men and armed services. Now, the fighting men certainly still deserve our respect, but we need to realize that the armed forces and the government that is running them right now are different from what they used to be when all this respect was garnered. You know, we live in Tennessee, which is known as the volunteer state because they volunteered so many troops in the Spanish-American War, the First World War, and in the Second World War. But the Second World War was the last war that this nation has fought that was constitutionally brought. That's the last time that the president went to the Congress and asked for and received a declaration of war. Every other one, quite frankly, has been an unconstitutional conflict. They call them police actions now. And basically, with the march of globalism, our Army, Navy, Marines, whatnot, have turned into the police force for one world government. If you'll notice, we don't win wars anymore.
No, we really don't.
Think about the Korean conflict, for example. That was back in, 49, 50, 51, 52, or whatever. And to this day, we never have gotten a peace treaty with North Korea. We have 35,000 troops on the Korean Peninsula to this day. Imagine the staggering expense of all of that, James.
Then, well, absolutely. And you look at it, and that's an interesting observation, Keith, and an accurate one. There hasn't been a war that America's won since the Second World War, and I'll agree with our friend Pat Buchanan that was an unnecessary war fighting our brother Germans. But nevertheless, what do you think goes into that? And obviously that's a point that Chuck Baldwin is bringing out in this most recent article.
Well, we're not winning them because we're not operating as an army anymore. We're operating as, or a navy, we're operating as a police force. You know, the police force in Memphis is never going to win the war on crime. It may cause the war on crime to subside or calm down or shut down slightly for a while. But you're never going to win the war on crime. You're never going to defeat crime. Crime will exist. Likewise, in a police action, the goal is not to defeat an identifiable enemy. In fact, political correctness today prohibits that because most of the places where our military is sent are places where we fight or combat people that have a darker complexion than you and me, and people like you and me still make up majority of the people in the U.S. military, and that would be racist, and it would be hegemonic for America to come in here and defeat the Iraqis, for example, or to defeat the Somalians or whatever. So instead, we just go over there like a police force. We're handing out soccer balls and candy bars and providing health services and things like this. And we have rules of engagement, just like the police force, that you don't shoot unless you're being shot at. So consequently, I think they need to start issuing new uniforms to our U.S. military that have a bullseye on the front and the back.
That's
basically what they've turned our soldiers, sailors, Marines, and whatnot into, sitting ducks and, moving targets at best for our enemies. And, you know, why would we subject the flower of our youth to go overseas and catch bullets, particularly in the Mideast, where most all of these wars are being fought for the ultimate benefit of the state of Israel? Why has our nation aligned itself, if we're looking out for the best interests of this nation, with the one nation in the Middle East that doesn't have a drop of oil on it, James?
Well, it's not just that they don't have a drop of oil, Keith. It's that they have, actively, or at least agents of their government, actively perverted just about every institution. Every institution in America, as we've talked about time and time again. So I think, you know, you can make a sound argument that Israel has done more damage to this country than any of the countries that we've ever gone to war against.
Groups. Let's just list the ways in which Jewish power and influence has been used against the American majority. First, the civil rights movement, which has resulted in things like affirmative action, which basically put white people, white males in particular, at the bottom of the totem pole. Then we have the homosexual rights movement, again, headed, financed, organized. All the brains and money behind it are coming primarily from the Jewish community. Same thing for radical feminism. Same thing for radical environmentalism. Same thing for the drug culture and the sexual revolution. All these things that have diminished life in America for the majority of Americans have been engineered and are the brainchild of the Jewish elite in this country, yet we're sending our children overseas to be cannon fodder to help them control the Middle East when they don't want to use their own children or their own money to protect their own interests.
Well, and it's a good gig for them. I mean, that's a great arrangement for them. And at the same time, Israel has one of the most wonderful domestic policies. And I know we sound like a broken record from time to time because we've talked about it so much, but my goodness. They get America in a perverted foreign policy, and then they do all the things domestically that they denounce us as such as this program for advocating for our own people. So,
well, just think about this.
An interesting situation there,
James. James, which nation do you think we give the most foreign aid to?
Yeah, well, it's Israel. I mean, it goes without saying, probably more than any five or six countries combined, and we shouldn't be giving foreign aid to anyone.
Right. It's unconstitutional. It shouldn't be given to anyone. But, again, we're basically being used. We're the big brother bully for them, and, you know, they're the people that supposedly believe in equal rights, but ask the Palestinians how that equal rights thing is going with them in Israel.
Keith, we'll pick up on that note when we return. Ladies and gentlemen, sit tight. We'll be back right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the program tonight, everybody. James Edwards here with you, along with Keith Alexander. It is one day to Valentine's Day. And no matter what day it is, if it's a Saturday night at 6 o'clock Central, we're going to be here with you to give you the voice of the American right here in the political cesspool. And as Keith was mentioning at the top of the program, this article that we're reviewing by Chuck Baldwin, the former Constitution Party presidential candidate, a man who's made many appearances on our program, I want to take that lead in to remind you that every program is a treasure, and we've got a lot of gems in our broadcast archive, so do yourself a favor, and if you're a new listener to this program, take the time to explore our vast library of programs fast at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There you will find interviews with some of the leading luminaries in the America First Movement, people like Chuck Baldwin, and those archives date back several years now as this program is beginning to get a little longer in the tooth, but that's kind of past history. What we've been able to do so far this year, since the calendar flipped over to 2010, has been very exciting with guests like Kevin McDonald, Hutton Gibson, Sam Dixon, Gordon Baum, Ted Pike, Jared Taylor, Craig Boddicker, Merlin Miller, and more already having appeared on the program since January 1st, and tonight it continues as we will be interviewing in the second hour Jim and Tricia Fajo of this very network. They are also radio hosts on Liberty News, and they will be on to talk about a subject that is very important to our listeners, but one that we don't tackle very often. It is one pertaining to alternative health measures, and with the big, well, I don't know if it's much of a debate. Obama wants it. 90% of Americans don't, but socialized health care. With that being on the chopping block right now, whatever you want to call it, the fact that there are people out there that are advocating alternative health measures is something that we think you should know about. And so we're going to talk to Jim and Tricia Fajo about that. And a little later on, one of our veteran war horses, one of our regular guests, a man who has been appearing with us since our very inception back in 04, Joe McCutcheon. Joe McCutcheon of ArkansasFreedom.com is going to be on tonight to completely blow the lid off of the Tea Party movement. If you've gone to our website and read our blog lately, you'll know that we have finally come to a final conclusion about the subversion of the Tea Party movement from the top. That doesn't mean that the people there aren't very good. I certainly believe them to be. But we've got some new information that has come to light about how the neocons and their Jewish overlords have subverted the Tea Party movement, or are attempting to subvert it in the same manner that they did the Minuteman Project. And Joe McCutcheon is more than qualified to speak about the parallels there, because he was an original founding member of the Minuteman Project, and he can tell you exactly where they went wrong. So stay tuned. A great show still ahead tonight with Jim and Tricia Fajo and Joe McCutcheon. Keith, that being said, back to you as we continue to review the Chuck Baldwin article, and you've got some more thoughts about that.
Okay.
Not your father's
army. We're talking some about Jewish power and influence and why they are dominating the military and the military missions today. And quite frankly, why should we be supporting a group that works so assiduously and so tirelessly to undermine the efforts of the majority population of America? Let's also talk about other reasons why joining the military today is not a good deal for America's majority population. We're just cannon fodder. For example, blacks, Hispanics, and other non-whites are the beneficiaries of affirmative action in the military. There have been numerous articles we pointed out in earlier shows of how the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, the U.S. Air Force Academy have elaborate programs that give preferential admissions and preferential treatment to blacks, Hispanics, and other minority groups over and against the white majority in America. The perfect proof of this is the elevation of a old fuddy-duddy nothing named Colin Powell to be the joint head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
That's a disgrace. Absolutely a disgrace.
Yeah, he was basically the most inoffensive black available in the officer corps, and he was promoted far beyond his capabilities, a perfect example of the Peter Principle in operation. And there's no telling how many worthy white candidates were passed over in his race to the top that was basically facilitated by dishonest means by the people running our military. That's one thing. Secondly, women now make up 20% of military personnel, and that may serve the interests of political correctness, but it does not serve the interests of combat effectiveness. Neither does it serve the interests of family and rearing. In fact, they recently had an article that I read in the Drudge Report of a black woman with a child who was in the military, who refused to be deployed, and they eventually let her out. But see, this is the type of thing. How is that helping the combat effectiveness of our military to be having people like that in there? Then, of course, the military is in the forefront, is the vanguard for the homosexual rights movement. We've got the Obama administration pressing that people of a homosexual sexual orientation be allowed to serve openly. And again, WHAMs, as Paul Craig Roberts calls them, white heterosexual able-bodied males, are the last served. We are the people who basically go in there, provide the backbone for the military, but get less consideration than anyone else. Less consideration for promotion, less consideration for leadership roles. Why in the world would we want to get involved? Just like under the Reagan administration, we had just say no to drugs. I suggest that the white majority in America, particularly the men and the women too, say just say no to the military recruiter. These people are leading you in the primrose path, down the primrose path, and being in the military in today's world, in the U.S. military, is like entering the Roach Motel. Once you go in, you don't go out. I've noticed from commentaries I've gotten from several friends who have children in the military that when their tour of duty is up or their time of enlistment, they can't get out. They try to stop loss them and hold them over, unless they agree to join the National Guard or the Army Reserve, and then they get called back into military service. So this is just a trap we need to lead our children away from. This is, as Chuck Baldwin says, not your father's military, and we need to recognize that, and we need to stop serving up our children for sacrifice in it.
Yeah, it's one thing when you've got an honorable nation fighting honorable wars, as some in our past were.
Most but, all of them in our past were, but, they're not now.
We've said it time and time again. You know, obviously, it's very courageous to be a member of the United States Armed Forces, but you need to ask yourself who you're really serving. Are you serving this country, or are you, serving a corrupted government?
Well, here's a perfect example of who you're serving. There is now a recruitment ad for the U.S. Navy. And in this Navy television commercial, it boldly proclaims the U.S. Navy, a global force for good. Well, that's telling you they're letting their slip show here. Basically,
yeah, and you're exactly
for the global
right, Keith.
Government
and it doesn't
now,
make
not
the fact
United States.
That a person joins and serves any less valiant, or you know, there's certainly a lot of gallantry there. But at the same time, I think that unbeknownst to them, they think that they're serving this country when, in fact, they're doing it to service people at this point. And this isn't, you know, about a political philosophy. I mean, you know, we would say the same if the Republicans were still. I mean, a lot of people think that wars are just and push calls and they're unjust.
Well, they used to say, James,
when
there's
just unjust.
When you join the army,
all
the time,
the old days, it happened for a long time. And certainly,
guys,
it's not because we
right after these messages.
Are cowards. You know, we would have fought for just wars, like for the Confederacy, for instance, as our ancestors.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. Welcome back, everybody. As I said at the top of the program, I am on the road tonight and not in our home studios in Memphis, where we're transmitting this thing via satellite here from South Georgia. And when you're on the road, the logistics aren't always as good as they are at home. The equipment not always as solid. And so apparently I was still going strong when that last commercial started. But, you know, the blemishes that this program have just prove what we say is true, that we are always live, unrehearsed, and uncensored. And thank God for that. But anyway, I'm sure I wasn't saying anything too important that it's just going to kill people not to know where I was going with that. But Keith, to round out the article that we've been covering here for the first half hour of the program, Chuck Biden is an important one. I don't think there's anything, there would be very few issues that are more important than
it's a life
trying
and death issue.
To impress upon people out there that the best way to serve their country perhaps isn't to enlist in the military, at least the way the military is being used now in very unconstitutional ways. And again, that doesn't take away from the gallantry of a decision to serve. It's just something that I think, for the sake of your family, you might need to think about under the
You need to understand this.
The current infiltration of the American government as it stands. But Keith, a couple of final words about that. We got to get on to a story about Bill Gates, because this is going to shock people. It shocked me, and very few things do anymore. But a final word on the story from Chuck Baldwin.
Well, the final word I think is this: our people in the armed forces now are asked to make an oath to the President of the United States, where traditionally we've given one to the Constitution, people in the military, and I think that's more than coincidental. Basically, in today's military, because it is in the forefront of political correctness, what Paul Craig Roberts, a columnist, calls WHAMs, white, heterosexual, able-bodied males, can no longer expect fair treatment in the military. They're going to do the primary heavy lifting in the military, all the combat and whatnot. In fact, all the elite combat forces are predominantly white male. But nonetheless, the promotions, the publicity, and favoritism generally flows to everybody but a white, heterosexual, able-bodied male in the military today. And quite frankly, we need to stop shedding blood until they get this thing right and let the rewards go to the people that deserve them, rather than based upon some politically correct calculus or algebra that they're trying to satisfy in today's military.
Now, and I think that's the point we've been trying to make, and Keith, as always, you sum it up very succinctly. You can't really add much more to that, at least from my end, in saying that is what backs our decision to encourage folks to think twice about enlisting to serve. I mean, in the old days, back when the American government fought for the American people, you couldn't do more than to enlist.
Now it's
but
trying
today,
to undermine
perhaps you're,
its majority. Now,
you know, contributing to the downfall of this country by
the majority of Americans, and
by risking your life for it.
Them. Now, the other thing that we wanted to talk about were these Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Before you even go into that, I got an issue in this little caveat. A couple of our listeners emailed me this story, and, of course, they added their little synopsis of it before I clicked on the link. And I thought that this had to be either a spoof or something that was being exaggerated. I thought that even after all I've seen and all we've reported on over the course of the past 6 years on this show, that this was just something that was just too in-your-face offensive to European Americans to be true. And then come to find out that, once again, I was shocked in a negative way. Keith, throw out this story for the people and see if you can't make them nauseated.
Okay, Bill Gates, of course, is a computer dweeb, a little nerd, that founded Microsoft and has become a multi-billionaire. Okay? He's married to a lady from Alabama named Melinda, and they have together formed the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And, of course, it is totally saturated with an outlook and ethos of political correctness. And what they've done, they have a $1 billion endowment for the Bill and Melinda Gates Millennial Scholarship Fund. This was made in 1999. The fund explicitly denies eligibility to white students. It says it specifically, and this is a quote, students are eligible to be considered for a GMS, that's Gates Millennium Scholarship, if they are one, African American, two, American Indian / Alaska Native, three, Asian and Pacific Islander American, or four, Hispanic American. Well, guess who's left out? Again, the majority of people in America. So, quite frankly, we need to do with them what we need to do with the military and everything else. Remember, one of my famous sayings is that the only sound a liberal fears is the sound of a closing purse. First of all, I think we need to boycott Microsoft products, even though Bill Gates is no longer, I think he's passed on from that, from the active management of Microsoft. The other thing we need to do is exactly to adopt the tactics of the left. If you'll recall, when busing hit and white people started reacting by forming what the private schools, what the liberals mocked as segregation academies, the liberals, the left, the NAACP, the American Jewish Congress, groups like that, brought suit against the IRS saying you can't give these segregation academies tax benefits, you can't treat them like a normal charity anymore because they're violating equal protection, guaranteed by the Constitution, and the Supreme Court of the United States found for the liberals. Well, basically what Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Millennial Gates Scholarship Fund is doing is exactly that. They're denying equal protection to white American children by denying them access to these scholarships. A suit like that needs to be brought to take away all the tax benefits for the whole panoply of Gates scholarships and Gates charities. They have this money that they give to predominantly black school districts and whatnot. It all needs to be challenged, and all the tax benefits need to be stripped from Gates' programs because he is violating the Equal Protection Clause. If it worked against the segregation academies, it ought to work against Gates. What do you think,
Jack? Well, Keith, no excuse is even remotely acceptable, but was there any reason listed whatsoever as to why white kids would be excluded from the opportunity to have a scholarship?
No, they think it's self-evident that white people are apparently privileged and all these other people are poor and oppressed. Apparently they haven't been down to Horn Lake, Mississippi, or Frazier neighborhood in Memphis, or any other working-class neighborhood of whites in America. Quite frankly, this is the worst time in the history of our nation to be a poor or a working-class or a lower-middle-class white kid because the left, and in particular minorities, have sucked up every scholarship available. For example, we've talked before on this program how the East Memphis Rotary Club, a civic club almost exclusively populated by whites, has had their scholarship fund commandeered by a good son of Israel named Jed Dreyfus into the Memphis Prep program for the exclusive benefit of black and Hispanic kids, sending them in the summer to exclusive prep schools like Phillips Exeter and other places like that in the Northeast, and then giving them special test preparation, and then assisting them to get scholarships to places like Harvard, Yale, Stanford, and whatnot. And again, a white charity, a charity that was dominated by white people, still has a vast majority white membership, doesn't give its scholarship to white kids. And that's just symptomatic. That's just one example. It's across the board. There's no scholarship money available for white kids. You know, even in Tennessee, we have this Hope Scholarship that comes from gambling revenues from the state lottery. Well, there's a move afoot by the left to change the scholarship program. They're so angry that white kids can get these little measly $3,000 a year scholarships under the scholarship program. They just won't rest until whites are totally denied. It's just exactly what John C. Calhoun said back in the 1830s. He said that the true goal of the abolitionist, and you can put in place of abolitionist left-winger in America now, is not equality for the black race, but rather that the black race and the white race change places in society.
Keith, we got to take a break. We will come back and talk more about that right after these words. You're listening to The Political Cesspool, everyone. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, I got to say something. Keith is just doing such a remarkable job tonight, kind of spearheading this program as I am on the road tending to cesspool-related business outside of the state of Tennessee. But, Keith, you know, in covering that thing about the Bill Gates scholarships there, and just to recap very briefly, basically the Bill Gates Foundation is offering scholarships to everyone in the world except for white Americans, is by what it sounds, and this is in their own words. This isn't us, performing some conjecture. This is just what it says in black and white. And I guess it would just – it's a rhetorical question to ask – what the outcry would be if only black kids were denied the opportunity to receive these scholarships. I mean, you know, the seventh level of hell would be raised by the media, by the government, the police, and everyone in between. But not only is it perfectly acceptable for white kids to be discriminated against in this, in everything, but in this instance as well, there is absolutely, except for this radio program, I don't know how many people have been speaking out about this. I mean, the silence, as Keith says so often, is deafening. But there are people who are following this, and one of them is Russell James, a good friend of ours in Boston, Massachusetts, who I understand is in the law, is on the line right now to talk about just this matter. Are you there?
Yes, James.
Good to have you, my friend. Thanks for calling in.
It's good to be on. I was just listening to you and Keith talk. And it's actually something that we've been working on, a little side project up here at Northeast White Pride, is how to get people off of Microsoft products and onto free alternatives. Microsoft's two cash cows are obviously their operating system, Windows, and their Office suite, Microsoft Office. And I've heard or I've read in different places that Microsoft Office might account for as much as 60% of their revenues. So if people downloaded free alternatives, that would really put a crimp in their style. One of the best free alternatives out there is one called OpenOffice. It's OpenOffice. And you can get that at openoffice.org. It works almost identically to Microsoft Office, and it's compatible with all of their file format. It's very easy to download. Just click on it, and it will install it, and you'll have an Office suite that matches program for program what Microsoft Office does.
Well, that's interesting, and that's something. See, even I, as host of this program, learned things from the callers. Well, there you go, Keith. One example of how you could let the liberals hear the sound of that closing purse.
Right. And, Russell, this is Keith. Good to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you, Keith.
Let me suggest this, too. What do you think about the idea of a lawsuit against the IRS to strip the Gates Millennial Scholarship Fund and the other Gates Foundation scholarships aimed at minorities to benefit minorities and excluding whites have their tax benefits challenged?
Yeah, I think that that would be a great idea. I think that one of the things that you were talking about the fact that they often sue companies that are violating supposedly violating the rights of minorities by not giving them equal opportunity.
Well, you know, specifically, I remember this, Russell, because I lived through it
back
in the early 70s when busing
for a couple of reasons. One, they work, and two, we can make a lot of money from them and use that to sue them more.
Right. We need to break these dogs from sucking eggs, as we say down here in the South, and we need to use the same tactics against them that they've used to beat us down. It's our turn, our day in the sun now, my friend, and we're throwing this out here to people. Let's get some ideas. There must be some type of charity out there or some foundation that's willing to take something like this on. And we're asking the people scratch their heads and try to come up with something on this. Because, I have college-age children, Russell and James. I don't know about the rest of you. And I can tell you the scholarship money available for white males, in particular, and white children generally, is almost totally being co-opted by the left so that it is used to promote the interests of the various minority groups, blacks in particular. And, you know, believe me, the blacks wouldn't take it lying down if it were the other way around, would they?
Yeah, we actually looked into some of the scholarship stuff because we were going to start a scholarship up here, and we were looking into, you know, what we might have to do to start a scholarship for whites, and particularly for white males. And while we were researching it, from the little bit of research that we did, we found that less than 50% of the scholarship money available is available to white males.
Well, I think it's much less than that. And quite frankly, you get a basic grant that's given to just about anyone based on your income, but all the specialized scholarships, all the extra money, all the free rides, so to speak, have been reserved almost exclusively for blacks and Hispanics. And, you know, that's, you know, we're being dispossessed in the nation that our forefathers founded. And, you know, this is not something that we should take lying down. We should basically, you know, the squeaking wheel gets the grease, and we need to be the squeaking wheel.
Yeah, and it's not something that they're going to stop doing on their own, that's for sure. If we don't start applying pressure and start attempting to do something, at least, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bo Sears over at Resisting Defamation, but, you know, one of the things that these, you know, that we have to do with these people is intimidate them, you know, financially, politically, organize better, because that's all that they respond to. They're never going to play fair. They're going to continue
like
to
take advantage
of the situation.
Like we said, the only sound of liberal fears is the
Most
sound
of them
of
are well
purpose.
Aware that what they're doing is unfair, and they just don't care.
Well, as we've all often said, the only sound of liberal fears is the sound of a closing purse, Russell.
Exactly.
I like to hear that click myself.
Well, Russell, thank you so much for the call and for all your activism on behalf of our people up there in, my God, the belly of the beast, I guess, the upper northeast, Massachusetts. Thanks for holding down the fort and standing with us on the front lines. I tell you, you got it a little bit rougher than we do here in Tennessee, as bad as it is in the reconstructed South these days.
Yeah, it's pretty bad up here with all these colleges around that seem to just attract these people, and I'm right in the heart of it. But thank you guys very much for having me on the show on such short notice, and I will talk to you later.
It's always our pleasure to hear from you and to work with you, and thanks for coming on and adding a little insight to the program. Russell James, everybody.
All right,
Keith, we're getting short on time for this first hour. I would like to remind everyone that there's still much more to come in the political cesspool tonight, as we'll be featuring in the second hour Jim and Tricia Fajo speaking out on alternative health measures and a very interesting case developing pertaining to their work, and then later on we're going to be talking about the tea parties. We've gone undercover and gotten some information. Joe McCutcheon is going to be our guest to talk about that. But Keith, a final word before you go.
Well, let's say this. Let's give them a teaser for next week. You know, February is Black History Month, and we don't need to let that solemn occasion pass without commenting on some of the black invention myths and also the black activist myths that are always trotted out the old canards every February to show how poor and oppressed and beaten down and deprived black people are when they're actually the most privileged people in terms of legal rights and scholarship money and all the things we've been talking about today in the population. You know, the Code of Federal Regulations has 44 categories for preference for federal jobs and governmental contracts. The number one most favored category of people is black female. Number 44, the people that have no preference over anybody, the bottom man on the totem pole are white, non-Hispanic males. So with that as a little teaser, we're going to go into a whole bunch of things next week about Black History Month, for example, lynching.
Yeah, so we're going to talk all about it, and I'm excited about it. We were going to try to work it into the program tonight, but, there's just the plate overflows every week here in the Political Cesspool, and we never have a shortage of items to talk about, thanks, courtesy of the American government and powers that be. But, yes, Keith, I guess if we were black lesbians, we wouldn't have to do this at all, would we?
No, we'd be set up with some sinister position. We could be the Nikki Giovanni, you know, the third-rate poet that has this tenured position.
Right.
I don't know if it's Virginia Tech or somewhere like this. Meanwhile, as white males, we're the people being frozen out of the action in particular, and white females are running a close second to us, and we need to wake up, smell the coffee, and realize that if we don't speak up for ourselves, nobody will.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why this program here is standing strong and serving as the voice of the American right. As I said, I think this program has grown into the communicative nexus of the America First movement, and we're very proud of that, and we're very proud of the friends we keep, and even more importantly, the enemies that we keep. And if you judge us by the enemies that we have, you would find that they are the enemies of both this country and the faith of our fathers. And that being said, we're going to go into our break. We'll be back with you at the top of the second hour in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen.
Number two of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit and blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.